Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of Gospel on the Go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where, as you can see on the screen behind me, today we're going to be talking about the virgin birth. Is that a pretty important bit of information? The Bible talks about the virgin birth? Yeah, very very important topic, right? Yet a topic that liberal scholars, liberal theologians over the last few hundred years have tried to deny anything that is supernatural, anything that is not easily explained in the natural realm, such as a virgin giving birth to a child. Obviously, that cannot be explained in the natural realm because it is a supernatural, or was a supernatural work of God. And because it was supernatural, liberal theologians, liberal scholars, then and even today, and in even many evangelical churches today, this idea of the virgin church, virgin birth, many people in the evangelical church may not be like the liberal theologians and outwardly just emphatically deny the virgin birth, but nevertheless, I think a lot of people in the evangelical church today don't understand why it's such an important thing. They know it's something you talk about around Christmas time, but what's the big deal about it? Well, we need to understand that it is a very big deal, right? First, God had prophesied in the Old Testament the virgin birth. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, about 700 years before the birth of Christ, God, through the prophet Isaiah, made a promise. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. This was 700 years before the birth of Christ. Now, in the immediate context, God was talking to Isaiah about what was going to happen with his wife. But if we go to Matthew chapter 1, we see that that which God said through Isaiah 700 years before the birth of Christ, God had a wider context that included the coming of the Messiah. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18, after Matthew, let me just give you the quick context here. Matthew was writing to a Jewish audience that really was familiar with the promise of the coming of the Messiah, right? From the Old Testament. So Matthew starts out his gospel, verses 1 through 17, giving the genealogy of Christ, showing the royal kingly line of Christ. Okay? That's verses 1 through 17, showing Christ's royal kingly line, the genealogy of Christ. And then verses 18 through 25 of chapter 1, he shows the human birth of Christ. How did that happen? Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed, engaged to Joseph before they came together, physical relations, before they came together, she was found to be with child. How? By the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, obviously was stunned when he saw that Mary, who he was engaged to and about to get married to, when he saw that she was pregnant. So, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, he planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, a supernatural conception. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, which means Savior. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. Now watch this. Verse 22. Matthew, again, talking to a Jewish audience who was very familiar with the requirements of the Messiah's royal legal line. That's why Matthew started out giving the genealogy of Christ, right? Through Abraham, David, Solomon, and so forth, right? The Jews were also familiar with the promise of Isaiah 7:14, right? That the virgin would give birth, right? So that's why Matthew, after talking here, writing here about the birth of Christ, Matthew clinches it by saying, verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Which prophet? Isaiah, 700 years before the birth of Christ. Behold, the virgin shall be with child. She shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Remember we read that in Isaiah 7:14? Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. But he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, why? So, number one, we see the virgin birth fulfills Old Testament prophecy, right? About the coming of the Messiah. That not only would Jesus come through the royal kingly line of Abraham, David, and Solomon, but also there would be a supernatural birth. Supernatural birth that God had promised in Isaiah 7:14. Supernatural birth that was fulfilled, as Matthew said, in Jesus Christ, right? The virgin would give birth to a child and bear a son. Now, you kind of can understand why certain naturalists who simply say, look, how do you explain this? You can't explain a woman who did not have any sexual relations with a man. You cannot explain, they would say, how she was able to give birth to a son. And you know what? I agree with them. I agree that in the natural realm, this is unexplainable, right? I mean, no sexual relations, and yet she gives birth to a son? Now, this science actually has tried to do this. It's called parthenogenesis. Literally means virgin generated or virgin conceived. Science has attempted, and just on a small scale, has attempted to allow life to be reproduced without the normal male-female relations. Now, this idea of parthenogenesis, again, virgin generated, virgin conceived, it's only been done just in lower forms of animal life, such as honeybees, silkworms, and in the mid-1900s, science was able to do this in some rabbits. However, this is very key. The female rabbits were only able to give birth to, ready, baby female rabbits. Why is that important? I want you to think about this. And by the way, in terms of humans, parthenogenesis has never worked. It's impossible, right? Now, let's say, however, that somehow it was possible in humans that a woman, by the way, XX chromosomes, right? A woman, XX chromosome, without the XY chromosomes of a male, right? The sperm, right? It would be absolutely impossible. Or let me say it this way. If a woman, XX chromosomes, was able, through science, somehow, to get pregnant and give birth to a child, what would be the gender of the child? The only possible gender of the child that woman, XX chromosome, could reproduce. A female, right? That's it. Because she only has XX, right? There's no XY introduced to her. Therefore, she could only, again, if it was possible, she could only reproduce XX, a female. And that's what happened with the rabbits in the mid-1900s. Isn't this interesting? With Mary, XX chromosomes, no XY introduced her from Joseph or anybody else, right? And yet, she gave birth to a son. Do you see why, you know, the naturalists say that's impossible? I agree, in the natural realm, but not in the supernatural realm, because nothing is impossible with God, right? And we see that God, in his sovereign power, that which he had promised in the Old Testament about the coming Messiah, God fulfilled through a virgin. XX chromosomes, yet she gave birth to a son without ever having physical relations with a male. XY chromosomes. Do you see it? Which again, it shows you God's supernatural, miraculous power. Again, Luke chapter 1, same thing. When Mary was told, we saw in Matthew how Joseph was told about this miracle virgin birth. We have Mary now being told the same thing. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Now in the sixth month when Mary's cousin Elizabeth, who was older than Mary, Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. So in the sixth month, Elizabeth is pregnant, right? 6 months with John the Baptist. In that 6 month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, one of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. You notice how many times we keep reading here in Luke's Gospel? Virgin, virgin, virgin. And the angel coming in said to Mary, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement. She was obviously filled with fear also, like an angel just showed up to her, right? She was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, i.e. King David, and he, the Messiah, will reign over the house of Jacob, Israel, and his kingdom will have no end." Well, this was an amazing announcement, right? And Mary, who understood, okay, I'm a virgin, right? I've never had sexual relations with a man. Even though I'm engaged to Joseph, we've never had sexual relations. The angel said to her, "You're going to give birth to a son." Well, again, naturally, how does that happen? That's why she asked the question. Verse 34, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" Naturally, it's impossible, right? Again, even if science today could somehow, this thing of parthenogenesis, if somehow science could make this happen, she could never give birth to a son, right? At best, she could give birth to a daughter. How's this going to happen, me giving birth to a son, since I'm still a virgin? The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And behold," the angel said to Mary, "even your relative Elizabeth," much, much older than Mary, had been barren her whole life. Even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, but it wasn't a virgin birth like Mary's was going to be. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. And then look what the angel said. Nothing will be impossible for God, i.e. virgin birth, though it cannot be explained naturally, though it's impossible naturally, right? With humans. Nothing's impossible with God, who is the supernatural, almighty miracle worker. And Mary's response, verse 38, behold, I'm the bond slave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. I love her submission to God's word, God's authority, God's promise. Even though, hopefully you understand, okay, how, again, absolutely impossible a virgin birth is naturally. And even if science could somehow make that happen, she could have only given birth to a female, right? So this was a big, big deal, right? But we know that Jesus was conceived not naturally through the union of Joseph and Mary, but rather he was conceived supernaturally. Why is that important? Again, A, to fulfill God's promise, right, from the Old Testament. But B, think about this. Sin came into this world through a man, Adam. It had to be a man. Listen, a perfect man who could overcome and reverse the curse that sin caused. Well, no human is perfect. No man here on earth is perfect. Why? Because we all have a what? Sin nature, which we have all inherited from our first parents, Adam and Eve, right? A sin nature that we're born with, a sin nature that renders us dead to God, a sin nature that renders us in hostility to God, a sin nature that leads us to continue to rebel and sin against our holy God. So no man, no normal human man, could ever reverse the curse that was brought into this world by the first man, Adam. That's because we all have been born, how? Through the natural way of conception, right? Male, female? Coming together, right? Problem is, male, female, sinner mom, sinner dad, coming together, producing what? A sinner child. You see it? The sin nature passed down to every human, because every human has been born in the natural way, right? And so, mom, dad, thank you very much for the wonderful gift you gave to me. A sin nature, right? But that's the deal. So again, why is the virgin birth important? Again, number one, fulfilling prophecy. But number two, think about this. Sin came into the world through a man. It had to be a man, a perfect man, who would overcome sin and death for humans. Well, again, no human could do the job. It's impossible. Because we're all sinners. We all have a sin nature. So guess what happened? 2,000 years ago, God became man. God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. Remember? Promise in Isaiah 7:14. Remember? In Matthew chapter 1, God with us, Emmanuel. 2,000 years ago, God the Son left his heavenly throne and he came to this earth. Listen carefully. Jesus, that's his human name. Jesus was conceived in the womb of a virgin named Mary. Joseph had nothing to do with this. No other male had anything to do with this. Science had nothing to do with this. Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary. She's a sinner with a sin nature, right? But the union of two sinners coming together and reproducing a child with a sin nature didn't happen. Why? Because Jesus was conceived not in the natural way, but in the supernatural way, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, no XY chromosomes through a human male were introduced, which tells you that God sovereignly and miraculously, I mean, think about it, right? Again, through a female, virgin female, a male child. And again, when you think about that, you just, it causes you to be in awe of God's majesty, God's power, God's wisdom, right? And so, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, comes to this earth. Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Jesus wasn't without a sin nature because of Mary. Jesus was not without a sin nature because he was not conceived like all of us have been conceived, right? Again, two sinners coming together, reproducing a child with a sin nature. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, listen, the sin came into the world through a man. It had to be a perfect man to overcome sin and death. So God became man. How did the incarnation of Christ occur? Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And Jesus Christ, here on earth, one person, two natures. He was truly divine, truly human. Jesus perfectly fulfilled all the law for us in our place, right? Think about it. That's where Adam failed, right? The first covenant, the covenant in the garden, was the covenant of works. God said to Adam, do this, you continue to live and have a relationship with me. You fail to do this, that's sin against me, you will die. Die spiritually, then eventually physically, and without a savior, eternal damnation. So the first covenant was the covenant of works. Adam failed. And that failure has been passed down to all of humanity. So what did God do with that covenant of works? Did he just kind of toss it out and say, well, that project didn't work? No. Someone has to fulfill the covenant of works perfectly. Again, no human could do it. Jesus Christ, truly God, truly man, did it. He perfectly fulfilled all righteousness for us in our place. And then he went to the cross and is the perfect sinless substitute. Our sins were placed on him and God's wrath was poured out on him instead of on us. Had Jesus been born with a sin nature, A, he couldn't have perfectly fulfilled all righteousness for us in our place. And B, he could not have been punished and pay for our sins. Because he would be a sinner, right? So the virgin birth is critical. As the perfect one, Jesus fulfilled all righteousness for us. As the perfect sinless one, he was punished for our sins in our place. He died the death we deserve, but 3 days later, he rose in victory, overcoming sin and death for us. And through Christ and his perfect righteousness, those who have been chosen by God, those who have been redeemed by Christ, those who have been regenerated by God the Holy Spirit, are those who have the perfect righteousness of Christ credited to their account. And so, the perfect righteousness of Christ, fulfilling all righteousness for us, perfectly paying for our unrighteousness for us once for all time. None of that occurs. None of it without the virgin birth. Again, 1 Corinthians 15, as I conclude, verses 21 and 22. For since by man, Adam, came death, by a man also, the perfect God-man Jesus Christ, came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ, all will be made alive. God the Son, taking on flesh. Christ, conceived in the womb of a virgin, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, supernatural conception, no sin nature. Jesus Christ, truly God, truly man, perfectly fulfilling righteousness for us in our place, perfectly paying for our unrighteousness once for all time through his crucifixion and resurrection. And through Christ, we have forgiveness of sins in terms of that day of judgment. Through Christ, we have the free gift of eternal life. My hope and prayer is that you have truly repented of your sins and placed your faith and trust in Christ alone for the free gift of salvation, life with God. And I also hope you now have a greater appreciation, a greater understanding of the virgin birth. When people say to you, well, that just makes no sense to me. I don't understand that. You can't explain that. Well, of course, in the natural realm, you can't. But in the supernatural realm, as the angel Gabriel said to Mary, nothing be impossible with God. We praise God. We thank God. We worship God for his amazing grace, his amazing power, his amazing wisdom. And again, hopefully, you have a greater understanding and a deeper appreciation of the virgin birth. Again, not because of Mary's sinlessness, but rather because of God's power and because of Christ being conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, not naturally, but supernaturally. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.